$9 million to the good in from operations and about $1.7 million in the red, in net income. I have to say that the reason why we are in the red in net income profit is that in discussion with Doug and his staff, we are accruing for a $4.5 million loss on investments. So if anything turns out to be better, that would really be great, Doug. So anyway, that's where we are at the end of 9 months. In all seriousness, I do have to say, this has just really been a very, very difficult year. And Joe, myself, and our staffs have been working pretty much tirelessly to keep this on tack, keep things moving, and we will continue to do that. Let me now turn this over to Joe.
I have to briefly commend John DiNardo. This is a harder year than he said it was. And he kept it going, and this is not bad considering where we started. This shows where the physician group, the counterpart to the hospital system, is at about $165 million. You can see if you look at the pie chart why the clinical revenue is so important. We wouldn't have a medical school without that clinical revenue. It's taken an increasingly large part of the pie. We managed to end the year about $2.5 million to the good, largely because we swept about 10% off the state dollar last December, anticipating big losses. Our cash station situation is stable at $30 million, and we anticipate, as we had, about a 2% increase in revenue. Our goals with the hospital and the health system are to diversify our payer mix. We really need to get our partnership in the outpatient care center working as closely as we can. We have to continue to explore strategic external partnerships with hospitals, groups, and locations, because this really increases our brand recognition as well as is a source of diversifying our payer mix. So we're going to give up our time to one of the true stars and the most important part of my job, recruiting and supporting key faculty. We now have Dr. Dimitri Azar, outstanding teacher, brilliant scientist, and a great doctor as well, head of ophthalmology.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Chairman Shah, President White, and members of the board for the invitation to make this presentation. The Illinois Eye and Ear Infirmary was established in 1858, and in the past 150 years, the University of Illinois Eye and Ear Infirmary has been a leader in medical care, research, and education, both in ophthalmology and in the difficult word otorhinolaryngology, which means ear and nose and throat. We have a proud tradition of excellence, 150 years of delivering the most advanced ophthalmological care to the neediest of patients. Even up till this date, all our seminars focus on the treatment of the most difficult and complicated cases. That's the theme that we have been following. And our history is a history of first. We have been the first in eye pathology labs, the first in trachoma clinics, the first in glaucoma clinics, and this series of firsts has come even to the recent history where we've restored sights using artificial corneas 3 years ago. And since I've arrived here, this has been a very strong and thriving program among the top in the country. It also goes to the future. Dr. David Pepperberg, whom you see here on the right lower hand panel, has been a leader of a large scientific consortium to develop an artificial retina where there will be retinal bypass surgery. And this has been very successful research effort that is dependent on cutting edge technology, including nanoscale technology. He is one of 11 PhDs in the Department of Ophthalmology, and he's one of 18 professors. In the annual report that you have, we've included all these pictures and the names. You can read them at your leisure. But it's, suffice it to say that these the 18 professors provide mentorship and guidance to all the more junior faculty. And this is why our department is well known for the scholarship. We average more than one peer-reviewed publication per FTE per quarter. In the FY08, we've published 134 peer-reviewed articles, 6 books, and 66 book chapters, just to give you an idea. And practically every other a doctor on practicing clinical medicine in our department has been rated a top or best doctor. Education is very important for us. All our residents are either ranked in the top 99th or 98th percentile, and I thought it was interesting that in this year's class, two out of the six starting residents have gotten in their undergraduate degree GPA 5.0, perfect score at MIT. Again, we are indeed changing medicine for good, like the rest of the medical center, and we are practicing 21st century medicine. Unfortunately, we practice it in a mid-20th century facility. We have done many things to try to bypass the problem of space, and we've even implemented departmental HR policy of the presumption of yes, and it has helped us. We can see we've improved some incremental changes in the space facility, but the space remains a barrier. We have, for example, moved our retina service to our neighboring research building, the Lions of Illinois Eye Research Institute. Just to give you an idea about how we influence the medical care in the whole hospital, 90% of the eye referrals come from outside UIMC, and that's a telling story. So you can see that we can make a case for a new Illinois eye and ear infirmary. It's only a matter of space and money. It is needed to meet the existing and future demands. We have a premier ophthalmological institute, and we focus on treating diseases that are primarily in the elderly, and the statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau show that in 25 years, that age bracket 65 and above will be doubling practically. And the diseases that we treat most that are the most dangerous, cataract, macular degeneration, I don't have the pointer here, well, I don't have time for the pointer. You can see a loss of the central vision. In glaucoma, you lose the peripheral vision, etc. These account today, in 2010, it's estimated to be 43 million patients in the US suffering from these diseases. We also take our commitment locally very seriously. We treat underrepresented minority populations at the University of Illinois Eye and Ear Infirmary. Just the two remaining slides, we'll talk about volume projections. We predict that our volume, if given the appropriate space, is going to double from about just under 60,000 visits per year to about 114,000 by 2020. No pun intended here. Again, the surgical volume is going to be increasing in a parallel fashion to about 6,000 surgeries, adding more justification to having a surgery center, because most of our surgery is done on an out basis. You don't need a major operating room. So in summary, having a University of Illinois Eye and Ear Infirmary in U1 will leverage our tradition of excellence and premier reputation in ophthalmology. It will provide 21st century space for state-of-the-art patient care, research, and education, and help us flourish and re-emerge as a clinical powerhouse in ophthalmology. Thank you so much for the opportunity to make this very brief presentation.
Are there any questions? I'm sorry, Joe, please.
If I could, two things. First, the most difficult thing for a brilliant faculty member to do is to make a brief presentation. That was an A+, congratulations. The other thing I want to say is I frequently say that at our medical center, we bring university quality healthcare to people who can afford to go anywhere and to the poor without discrimination. And there's no better example, Dr. Azar, than what you and your colleagues do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is this a yes?
Doctor, remember the three rules.
Thank you for joining us today. Okay. Really, you make us proud of ourselves.
Okay, thank you.
And feel free to come back in December if you don't move forward with one.
Come
of
back
your
at 7 o'clock, everyone. I gave him three rules for this for his comments. Begin, be brief, be seated.
That's right. It was great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It was great.
Okay. Any other, we are done with hospital committee. Now, President,
Student trustees, I think.
For the student trustees, yeah, first?
Student trustees.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask...
And by the way, I have no business. I'm done.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now even you get an A+.
Thank you. I could use one.
Mr. Chairman, I have an inquiry. The communications that we received recently relating to the vandalism of the some of the Indian places and in the campus, has anything been done to deal with that, Chancellor Herman?
Yes, thank you for the question. Of course, it falls under the general rubric of public safety, but on that particular issue, we have added a large number of patrols through the area, and actually we're also considering the installation of other security measures broadly across the campus and intersecting with the town. A very regrettable incident, and of course one that has been condemned by many of us. We are moving to prevent it from reoccurring by increasing patrols in the area.
And have we communicated these initiatives to the campus-wide so that folks understand that we don't tolerate that?
Indeed.
Good.
Indeed.
Richard, where were the exhibits that were vandalized located physically?
Along Nevada Street.
East of the quad?
East.
Have we been able to identify what time of the day or night or day of the week those are happening?
Well, there have been a couple incidents, but late in the evening. Yeah. Early morning.
Thank you, Chancellor, and Trustee Montgomery, thank you. Very important point, Trustee Torres. Are the newly elected trustees, are they still here or they left? They are. Please rise. We have Urban trustee from Urbana, Matthew Rasky. Forgive me if I don't pronounce your name right. And from Springfield, Derek Follett, right? And where is the Chicago trustee? So you guys want to come back in September after observing this meeting? Well, thank you so much, and I think you'll have plenty of fun and lots of learning to do and lots of inspiration, like, you know, Dr. Azar came and he spoke, and these are passionate people. They can get job anywhere in the country with a lot more money than what we pay them, and under probably much better condition, but we salute their commitment, and I myself always feel honored and privileged to serve, so welcome again. And please have a seat, and we'll be done in a few minutes. Now I'm going to request the student trustees report, and starting with Trustee Smith.
I actually have a presentation for my comments. I'll be very brief. One of the most effective things I think I've ever seen as far as advocacy for the University of Illinois came, I think it was last year when the higher ed committee came to campus and toured our facilities and saw just how bad things were. So I thought to myself, how can we couple that experience with the Impact Illinois type of message that Mr. Hardy sent out? And speaking with Jacqueline O'Day, the student body president in Urbana, we came up with the following video, and she deserves all the credit for this, but I'm pleased to present this as my kind of thoughts to my service to the university.
Students are coming together to produce and film this video for you to really highlight the needs and reasons to support the University of Illinois with state dollars. Hi, I'm Paul Schmidt, student member of the Board of Trustees here at the University of Illinois.
And I'm Jacqueline O'Day, the student body president here at the Urbana campus. Today we're going to take you on a tour of some of our campus facilities, give you an opportunity to hear from some of our students and administrators, and show you how great of a place the University of Illinois really is, but also some of the challenges that we face.
The University of Illinois is truly a university.